Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Attacking Third for United States Women's National Team against Canada, CONCACAF W Gold Cup semifinal recap episode. We are joining you Thursday morning after the match on Wednesday, and we have a lot to get into. The United States have won on penalties 3-1. They are 3-2, excuse me. They are advancing to the CONCACAF W Gold Cup final. They will take on Brazil in the final on Sunday. We have a lot to dive into. Alongside Darian Jenkins and Sandra Herrera, I'm Lisa Carlin. The U.S. took on Canada in the semis at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego, California. Sandra, you were on the ground at this game. One of the biggest storylines coming out of it is not the goal score, is not the records broken. It is not how many penalty kicks Alyssa Nair saved for the United States. It is, in fact, the rain. It was a chaotic, wet, sloppy game and night in California. And really, it came down to almost who was going to get lucky with the puddle or who was going to get unlucky with a puddle. Sandra, from being at this game, what was your experience, especially with the weather?
Agony. You know, and I feel terrible even kind of mentioning that because, you know, there were only so many people in that stadium who were actually on the pitch and playing in those conditions. Others were in the stands doing their best to cheer. Some of us were covering it in a working capacity, but I can promise you, Lisa, it was as bad as it looked and possibly felt on TV. And it's just kind of just a bit of lore that has been added to Gold Cup in this instance. Talk about throwing your game plan out the window. Yeah. Because that became the story ultimately on this night. The fact that it doesn't actually really rain in San Diego, and yet here we are, and the Gold Cup demanded this type of weather. And we saw it happening all the way through that previous semifinal, obviously affecting the pitch for the second semifinal. And it just left everything a soggy mess, and we had to watch these players try to fight through it.
A soggy mess is exactly right. It had essentially been raining all day. For Canada, United States, it was the second match of the evening in the semifinals. Mexico, Brazil took place earlier. We will chat about it. But as the rain continued to fall, and as soon as this game started, you could tell that the ball was slipping. The ball was stopping in puddles. Players were slipping and sliding anywhere. They were wringing out their shirts. And Darian, about 3.5 minutes into the match, the referee stopped everything. From the far side of the field, she picked up the ball, brought it to the near side, and started rolling the ball in puddles. You guys, can you explain what was happening here?
No, because what the hell? How is that an efficient test? Players are sprinting full speed, kicking, being pushed, and you are walking and underhand, cupping a ball and throwing it into a puddle and thinking, Yeah, this works. That was the most bizarre test I have ever seen in my life. She should have tried to like slide tackle somebody and see how dangerous it is if you go into a tackle and you mistime it somewhat and you follow through 10 yards longer than what you were expecting. It was ridiculous. It was honestly a little comical to me to watch the referee do that test very thoroughly numerous times throughout the first and the second half and deemed it acceptable. Selfishly, I wish this game wasn't played or was delayed. Well, I didn't want to be a bleeder, but I do wish it was delayed more because these teams, we know they've been building up to this for so long. They've both grown, especially over this tournament. And I don't think they got the justice game we were hoping to see, this huge rivalry matchup. With both of these teams having a whole new guard, whole new style of play. So it's a shame, but credit to these players because you saw some of them losing their cool a little bit in the first half due to the rain because you simply couldn't execute a pass. You couldn't dribble. You couldn't hold somebody off because you were sliding the entire time. But they kept their heads, and it ended up actually being a good game to watch because they adapted to the circumstances. But damn, that was the test of the referee. I will never forget that.
It was actually ridiculous. So Christina Uncle, CBS Sports rules analyst, she was on the studio show with you, Darian, and she was tweeting out there. I was messaging her like, Christina, give us some clarity here. So the referee was showing the match commissioner the field conditions during that like random ball rolling test that she did. So the decision will be made by the CONCACAF match commissioner whether to continue, postpone, or delay the game. It's not basically on the referee at that point. Mm-hmm. It comes down to the CONCACAF match commissioner. They deemed it fine to play. And not only did we get 90 minutes of football, we got 120 plus a shootout. So it wasn't like, let's just wrap this up in a pretty bow in 90 minutes. No, these teams were determined to kind of make this game last win, right? Like that's the other big factor in this. It wasn't just a group stage game. It was a knockout round. It was the semifinals to advance to the CONCACAF final. And these teams needed to win. And there's so much on the line, especially the rivalry between Canada and the United States. Let's get through some of the beginnings of this. We can't necessarily talk tactics because let's just put it out there. All tactics went out the window for both sides as soon as the field conditions were determined and the players took the field. But starting lineup for the United States, Darian, it was the exact same against Colombia. Alyssa Nair, Knight Schwanger, Davidson, Girma Fox, Corbin Albert and Sam Coffey in the midfield with Horan, and then Rodman, Morgan, and Shaw up top. Were you surprised at this?
Yeah, look, nobody has ever asked me to make predictions or suggestions ever again because I am dead wrong every time. I was shocked that it was the same lineup, but the more I thought about it last night on the coverage, I had spoken with Kelly and I was like, you know what? It's actually a really good test, I think, for these players that haven't been up against a front line, especially Jenna Nyswanger. The relationship between Davidson and Girma and Fox obviously is a great 1v1 defender, but I thought, you know what, this is a really good test to go up against these forwards who are really dynamic, in good form, look to combine, are going to try to manipulate you, pull you out of position. Mm-hmm. Especially for Corbin Albert and Coffey, I think this is also going to be a really good test for them defensively, how they can plug holes. Because that rotation in Canada's midfield is really effective, and I think that's why they've been so successful, is their link play and how they've broken teams down, draw them out. So it's a good test for this lineup that maybe didn't have it previously. Maybe they more so struggled to finish, but I think I want to see Nyswanger get tested 1v1 a little bit more. I don't think we've really seen it yet. Even last night, we didn't really see it because the conditions were the biggest attacker. Like there was not much they could do there, but made a lot of sense. They had good success against Colombia, and this lineup I think was pretty strong. I was shocked that Nyswanger started. I did think Dunn was going to start. That was the one change I was solid about.
We didn't even get to see Dunn at all.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't. I would just echo Darian's sentiments. I will say that when we previewed this a little bit, we did talk about possibly seeing Alex Morgan get a start again, whether she would or wouldn't. And you know, I when I saw the lineup drop, I was kind of pleasantly surprised in the sense, only in the sense where it's like we've been seeing so much rotation and we're not seeing it in this one, but when I had a moment to sort of settle in with it, I, you know, I told myself, this is a tournament that is supposed to mirror Olympic play. And this actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it, as you start getting further into a knockout round stage, kind of having some of that familiarity rolling over into another big game. So I was like, I like this actually in hindsight. And I really liked that Guillermo and Davidson got another one of those starts together, because I know when we were previewing it, some of the things that we wanted to see, I know I mentioned that I wanted to see some continuity there with that center back duo. So I was glad that even in the conditions, we still got to see those two get the start alongside each other again.
Yeah, Alyssa Nayer as well, her fourth start of the tournament. And Corbin Albert, her fourth start of the tournament. I think that says something about where Twyla Kilgore and Emma Hayes want this team to go and what direction. I think Corbin Albert is a very big part of the future of this women's national team, which is just kind of crazy because, like, she just burst onto the scene, international scene, right? Like, I had been watching her and a lot of people had been watching her over in Europe, but she just burst onto the international scene and it was like, yeah, you are really good. Here's your spot and you're going to be part of this future. I also think it's very well deserved for Alba, but I thought the starting lineup was a little interesting that there were absolutely no changes, but it does mimic the Olympics and perhaps this is the strongest, right? Do you, Darian, is this possibly the starting lineup with a capital T?
I don't know yet. Okay. I still don't know. I think if the weather conditions didn't affect the game so much, it would have been a little bit more telling of who's ready at this level against a very good team. I still don't think the US has had that tried and true test yet. They had it against Mexico, they adapted, but now that they've adapted, I want to see the changes. I want to see the 1v1 battles. I want to see who can adapt in the game. And we just haven't gotten a chance to see that yet. And I wish we did last night. Maybe we will against Brazil, because Brazil is looking good.
Meanwhile, for Canada, they had two changes from their match against Costa Rica, lining up in a 3-4-3. Sheridan in the back, Buchanan, Gilles Rose, Gabby Carl, Jesse Fleming in the middle, Awujo, who was brought in, as well as Deanne Rose, Ashley Lawrence, Lacoste, and Adriana Leon up top. It was two changes for Bev Priestman. And I'm curious if you think there would have been tactic change from what we had seen Canada do throughout the first four games of this tournament or so, Sandra. Do you think that what do you think Canada's game plan was ultimately coming into this match that did not get to be executed?
Oh God, the what could it all have been question. I love it, you know, because that's part of, again, what we're going to maybe think about anytime we revisit this game in the future. What could it have been outside of these conditions? I do believe a little bit that we would have maybe tried to see some, again, continuity for Canada going into this game. I mean, you have been rolling out some new things. The players look like they're responding to it and buying into it and adapting to it. So why not see how that works against arguably what it was going to be their biggest challenge of this tournament, knowing a little bit that they are also going to meet once again during She Believes Cup. So I would have loved another opportunity to see Beth Priestman continue to roll out this side and continue to kind of iron out those tactics. I thought, especially with some of the players who have been playing within it, Ashley Lawrence, I think, has been an incredible standout over the course of this tournament. I think all things considered, even with the conditions last night, this was a player that constantly found herself trying to get on the ball or run to these dead balls whenever it would just simply stop in a muck of water. Again, it, what if, you know, but I think if it was better, I think maybe we would, again, we would have seen some of that continuity going into this game. I think the only difference was just the fact that there was that player rotation, but we would have seen perhaps some similar tactics that we have seen from them throughout the tournament.
I agree. I do think that there are some players that really grew in this tournament. Jade Rose, I thought she was fantastic. And even with the crappy conditions last night, how many times did you see her shut down Rodman and how irritated Rodman was getting? You saw her speed. You saw her patience. She was great in the air. I thought her distribution was as good as it could be with the field last night. She was moving the ball up the pitch. She wasn't up the pitch. She wasn't playing trying to play passes back to the keeper that were nonsensical literally from the third minute. Gilles did that and then did it again. And it wasn't the time to try to play, use your keeper at all. Just get it away from the 18. Big kicks, as my Nana used to say when I played. But I thought she was a really impressive player, and she's still in college. So I think the sky's the limit for her. I wouldn't be surprised if after this tournament, she is poached by some big teams, because I think she is incredibly dynamic, athletic, and really decent on the ball, and had a lot of growth game to game. And that's why she was a mainstay in that back line. So she's a player that stood out to Canada for me, even though they didn't get the result they wanted. But I'm excited to see what she does next.
Yeah, Jade Rose, only 21 years old, guys. She's still playing at Harvard. She's youngest. Still a college athlete. At Harvard, of course, but still a college athlete, right? Like, she has definitely grown on this national team. And sometimes I feel like that can happen in your college game. You can not get stagnant by any means, but when you take a huge leap to the national team level and you're playing in a competitive tournament with your national team and getting significant minutes against really big opposition, you're going to be tested more, and players can either rise to that occasion or they cannot. I agree. Jade Rose definitely has risen to the occasion. She did really well. Let's take you through kind of how this game unfolded, because the opening 30 seconds, US had a corner kick. I was like, okay, something's going to happen, but it was wet, pooling water. The ball was stopping. It was very poor ability to play. In the 20th minute, the United States they were just dumping it long, and Gilles tries to pass back to Sheridan. It goes about a foot instead of the intended 10 feet, and Jaden Shaw is chasing it down. She gets to it first, and she finishes it. So the U.S. go up 1-0 in the opening 20th minute. For Jaden Shaw, she becomes the first player in U.S. Women's National Team history to score in each of her first four starts. Right after halftime, 48th minute, Canada gets into the box, and Tierna Davidson looks to lunge and step on the foot of Jessie Fleming. The call does go to VAR. I have absolutely no idea what they were looking at, because this was hands down a penalty, and they do not call it. So Canada, Tierna Davidson got out lucky in that one. 82nd minute, Adriana Leone finds space at the top of the box. Instead of shooting it, she decides to recycle. Such a smart move by her. The ball goes wide. Ashley Lawrence sends across into the box, and it's a height mismatch. Jordan Huytema against Emily Fox on the back post. Huytema is winning that all day. It's now the 83rd minute, and it is tied 1-1 after a chaotic game. We go into extra time. The 99th minute, Rose Lavelle flicks on a header to Sophia Smith, who gets in behind Canada's back line. I don't know how Rose Lavelle got this header against two Canadian defenders, but Smith in the right place, she just very, very collectively finishes this ball. And you think, okay, we still have another half of extra time to play. The U.S. are battling. We get into the final stoppage time minutes of extra time, and Canada services a long ball into the box. It is challenged by Vanessa Gilles. Alyssa Nair comes out and ends up just taking out Vanessa Gilles. Actually, a bit of a dangerous play. There's a yellow card given to Alyssa Nair and a penalty. Remind you, this is in the stoppage time at the end of extra time. Adriana Leone steps up. She finishes it. We are going to penalties. Adriana Leone steps up to take the first penalty for Canada. It is saved in the shootout. Not the first save that Alyssa Nair would, or not the only save Alyssa Nair would have. She steps up again and saves Jordan Huytema's. Then she decides, all right, I've saved a couple. Why don't I take one? We saw her do this in the World Cup as well. Alyssa Nair finishes her own penalty and she converts. And then she saves the final one by Jessie Fleming. And in the end, the United States would win. Fist pumps from Alyssa Nair after a very tumultuous penalty kick shootout and extra time chaos. So Sophia Smith took penalty kicks for the United States. Corbin Albert did as well and missed. Smith made hers. Alyssa Nair made hers. Quinn for Canada made hers. So at this point, it's now 2-1. And then Lindsey Horan makes hers. And ultimately, it's 3-1 to the United States at the end of penalties. I mean, this game, Darian, let's talk a little bit about like how the goals came about for all of these sides, especially the opening one for the United States with Jaden Shaw.
I mean, my girl, Vanessa, she made a pass in the third minute back to Sheridan and it stopped. And Jaden Schaub was already praying on it. This is warning signs of what's to come. Tried to chip, missed frame of the goal. And then she did it again, just right into a big puddle. Props to Jaden Schaub, though, for reading that and knowing we need to press because who knows what's going to happen on these conditions. And it paid off. I had a coach tell me forwards always expect the best to happen. Defenders always assume the worst is going to happen. And I think Jaden Schaub won that last night. And then, you know what? I'm surprised Canada actually could have had a penalty in the first half as well, pretty early on. Rose and Tierna was trying to slide, overextended the wet conditions and took her out. And Rose, I think being such a young player, hopped right back up. I think if we saw a player that, you know, is a little bit more experienced in the game, probably would have feigned like their leg fell off and it would have gone to VAR. It could have been another penalty check.
But it did go to VAR.
It did? The one with Rose?
Yes.
What was with VAR last night? Because Canada should have two penalties. I'm Team USA, but come on. But yeah, what a tumultuous game. I thought both teams played really well. Just when you thought it was going to end, it wasn't going to.
Oh, gosh.
Here's the clip of Rose going against Tierna Davidson. And watch this. The field conditions play into the slide tackle, but she gets none of the ball. Clips her. I think any other day, that is a penalty.
Yes. Yeah, that one did not go to VAR. I apologize.
Okay. No,
yes.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But that was an opportunity where I was like, okay, this is going to be chaos because if you don't see that, I can't imagine what else is going to happen that's not going to be attributed as a foul or as a free kick. But it was a good game. I think Canada subbing in Heidema that late and then starting to just go to OG Canada, whipping balls into the box. Heidema's height advantage is, what a tongue twister. Is huge for Canada. She's so good in the air. I think that they should have implemented that earlier in their game. Maybe they attempted to, but the field conditions made it difficult. And then I was so proud of Sophia Smith to get that goal. I think it'd been a long time coming in this tournament. Took her a little bit to find her groove and get that confidence. What a game.
The back and forth in terms of just sort of the ball kind of leapfrogging its way around the pitch. It just sort of felt like we were watching in real time, like what was supposed to be this kind of next chapter in this rivalry between these two games kind of get a little bit predetermined, I think, before they even were able to kick off. I remember kind of racing back to the press box in between these post-game availabilities with Brazil and Mexico and seeing Canada walk back into the locker room after warmups and just being completely drenched. Like these players were soaked before they even went on to the pitch. Mm-hmm. And so to see it kind of play out in real time the way that it did, I think having a night to sleep on it, it's an incredible next chapter to this rivalry because there were a lot of less capped players, new faces who were introduced to it, who maybe haven't found themselves in this type of moment before, what it means to kind of go up against Canada. So I think it's a unique experience for some of them. But at the same time, watching certain individuals be able to kind of cast out some demons that they've kind of had to probably deal with since the World Cup absolutely felt relieving, vindicating, whatever word you want to use. We saw it happening in real time. The fact that Sophia Smith is on the bench to start this game, comes into these conditions and does what she does. We saw and by extension felt what that meant for the team and an individual. Watching Alyssa Nair step up in her moment. I mean, a game that goes to penalty kicks between Canada and USA, my God, who could have imagined, right? It's just kind of like, but at the same time, it's like, oh, but it's Alyssa Nair who is going to be running point here. And we just sort of, again, saw it happening in real time that this is a player that said, all right, I'm really clocking in now. Let me put down my lunch pail, put on my hard hat, and let me wrap it up for my colleagues that was the vibe from a listener mm-hmm. in this penalty shootout. Saving not one, not two, but three, and converting one herself and making sure that they get to the next phase. So just incredible stuff, I think, when you have a night to kind of sleep on it and reflect on it a little bit. No, we're not, we don't have a lot to talk about tactically here, but in terms of some of the meaning for individuals' performances mm-hmm. on that pitch, I think we can take a look at some mm-hmm. of those. And that's what we're carrying into this final.
If Alyssa Nair didn't secure her starting spot against Colombia in the quarterfinal match, she definitely did against Canada with all the incredible saves and even converting a penalty kick herself. All right, plenty more to talk about with this game and the other semifinal match at Mexico and Brazil. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. We're chatting about the United States women's national team big penalty kick shootout win over Canada. They won the shootout 3-1, Canada only finishing one of their penalties. However, in the run of game, Canada ends up getting an equalizer in the 82nd minute to push this game into extra time. The goal coming from Huytema on a cross from Ashley Lawrence into the box, and Huytema heads it in. That, to me, felt like it was Canada's only one attack, really, that they had in this first half. When you kind of look at how Canada grew throughout this game, whether it was making the mistakes that led to the United States' first goal or pushing it all the way to tie it up late at the end of regulation, tie it up late at the end of extra time and push it to penalties. It was their growth, Darian, from Canada throughout this entire match, 120 minutes plus.
Yeah, I think there was. And even for Jill to make that mistake in the first half and continue to play, not let it get in her head that that happened. I think she adapted her game from that, learned from her mistake quickly. Canada didn't give up. It's easy to feel defeated after something like that. And I think it took them a little bit more time to grow into the game and try to get a little bit more into the attack. And they definitely did. I think they built confidence as they were able to kind of win some aerial battles, connect a little bit more as the pitch dried up and started to slowly but surely drain a little bit. They definitely grew into the match. I think they subbed really well. Same with the U.S. I think Huytema coming on at the right time. But yeah, Canada grew into the match and gave us a really, really good game. I'm probably never going to forget that. Neither will my body, because I got no sleep.
Yeah. Watching the equalizer happen in real time, it was painful for a number of reasons. You're like, oh no, what's it going to mean for this game? But also literally, again, in the conditions watching it live, I felt so much for Emily Fox. I was like, oh, Lord, just got bodied here, posterized by Heidema in this one. And I can only imagine how painful that might have been, because I think that was the other thing for me, watching players in real time kind of take some of these hits or take some of these fouls. I think at one point when I was just sort of trying to tweet through it to get myself through it as well, I referred to just sort of some of the painful things that we were watching on the pitch. It was like these players were getting these fouls or taking these hits. And not only were they taking them in motion, but as you're hitting the deck, they're sliding another 3 or 4 feet. Yeah. So it's like you're getting hit in motion and you're getting dragged.
These were hard hits too. They were,
it was physical.
Bodied. And really, honestly, not that many cards given throughout this game. I think because so much of it was hard to tell how much of it was like a foul and like intentional, unintentional. Not that that goes into a yellow card too much, but right, like the conditions just played such a factor in this match. For the United States, we saw subs at halftime. Lynn Williams came in for Jaden Shaw, and Casey Krueger came in for Jenna Knight-Swanger. Then there was a very long pause at the start of the second half because the VAR equipment and the audio equipment for the officials was down. So there's a little bit of miscommunication happening there. But ultimately, we did get to see Lynn Williams come in and Casey Krueger. Then more subs around the 64th minute. Sophia Smith came in for Trinity Rodman. 72nd minute, Rose Lavelle came in for Alex Morgan. So this was an opportunity then for Sophia Smith after she came in, but ultimately to get the next goal to convert a penalty kick for Smith. But when you look at these subs that came in, Lynn Williams, Casey Krueger, Sophia Smith, Rose Lavelle, was this the right move, Sandra, when these players came in at this time?
Oh my God, again, it's like with the good of questions at that time. I mean, I think in now that we know what happened, you can argue and say, yeah, sure. But I think when you're a coach on the sideline watching this game in front of you and you have to make a quote unquote adjustment, what does that even mean in these conditions? You know, so it's for me, it's like when you're looking at the bench of the United States and you're saying there's a lot of talent here, who's going to be that game changer to maybe kind of shake things up? I think in your head, you're like, let's get some of our more dynamic, exciting attackers involved here. And I think you maybe try to task them with what's in front of them. It's tough conditions. And yes, maybe in these types of moments, you are looking for what will eventually be that oops combined with a moment of brilliance. And for a very brief fleeting moment, it almost looked like that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
Not only do you have Sofsky in that ball, but we get Roosevelt subbed into this game, which I'm sure folks, anyone who got subbed into this game, I'm sure folks were holding their breath a little bit because we're just like, oh, no, like hopefully all of these players get out of this unscathed. But now you've got players who have been watching this from the sidelines and getting into it, and you hope that they too are going to walk away unscathed. But
it took them a minute to adjust too. Like once those players came in, you could see they would like kick it and realize like, oh, right, this ball is not moving anywhere. It took like an adjustment period.
It did, but it also, I think it maybe asked some questions of some of these subs coming into the game to figure out how to be that impactful player. Because you can't, what are you actually tasking these players with on the sideline as a coach? You're not going to say, okay, so you're going to want to get wide, cut in. Blah, blah, blah. You're telling them what when you're getting into a game like this. So it's almost like these subs are getting in there and kind of having to figure out how to be that impactful player on the pitch. Talking to Soph Smith even after the game, she was very complimentary of Roosevelt in being that ball winner. She said, I didn't realize Roosevelt had those kind of hops to win that ball. To win that type of ball against two Canadian defenders. So, and she just felt, you know, very, you know, lucky that she was able to finish that because of the efforts of her teammate.
Yeah. I also think,
Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead. I think someone too that had a good game that's maybe going under the radar, Lynn Williams. This is Lynn Williams' bread and butter. I'm going to go out and just cause havoc. Watch me run. Yeah. You are not going to touch me. Watching her gain on Canada's back line is so freaking fun. I cannot wait for the NWSL season. But she was a player that isn't afraid to do the dirty work. She's one of the best defensive forwards in the world. And I think that that was a really good sub. I think she's fit for situations like this where you just have to be gritty. You have to battle. And I think she's also one of the mentally most strong players that the U.S. has. Where she comes off the bench, she's effective. She starts, she's effective. You don't see her rocked a lot in those ways. So I think we have to give her a shout out because she came in and I think put Canada on their heels quite a bit.
Yeah, that sub from Lynn Williams was impressive to see. She just ran. It's exhausting. Like, it is very exhausting to be a player running while your body is drenched. Your clothes are completely drenched. Your feet are drenched. You're running through puddles and puddles of water. And you're running almost like haphazardly. And it is exhausting because your intended runs don't make sense because the ball isn't going where the ball intended to go. So a big credit to all of the players out there that – because, I mean, I was exhausted just watching them. Sophia Smith, she did come into this match, and ultimately in the 99th minute, in the first half of extra time, she gets the goal to put the U.S. ahead 2-1, and then she converts her very first penalty in the penalty shootout. She was very emotional after the game. Sandra, you just alluded to it. Our very own Jenny Chu is on the ground in California, and she spoke with Sophia Smith post-game.
Sophia, I don't even know where to begin. The field conditions, all the way to penalty kicks. You're incredibly emotional. Talk to me about it.
Oh, I mean, the game was a little bit unplayable in the first half, so we knew that we just had to get the ball up and get the ball in behind and figure out a way to score, and Jaden did a really good job of that. I think we put in a gritty team performance, and yeah, it's emotional. It's been an emotional ride for me personally since the World Cup, so this is just a big relief, and I couldn't be more proud of our team.
Obviously, the team win is great. You guys are on to the finals, but more so your goal, making that difference, and then your celebration seemed very emotional. Yeah. It meant so much to you. Can you just tell me why? You know, obviously, you're talking about having a difficult time, but what do you mean?
I mean, it's just to miss a PK in a World Cup takes a toll on you mentally, and then I feel like since then, I've just been trying to work my way back, and yeah, I obviously haven't had a goal this tournament, and it's hard as a forward to not kind of get that and help the team in that way. So I think that goal was just a relief of a lot of emotions.
Well, we're very happy for you, Sophia. Congratulations. On to the finals.
Yes, on to the final. Thank you.
Good job.
Darian, you can tell that this has been a tough couple of months for Sophia Smith. Being a forward, like, is there a type of pressure when you don't score?
Yeah, I mean, your job is in the attacking third. Sure, you have to connect some passes, but if you're not scoring goals, you're not in the game. If you're not effective, you're not in the game. I think you could see that from the World Cup, the drop off, the mental toll it took, her kind of missing obvious chances in the previous games the U.S. has had, where normally you see her finish those with conviction and a lot of confidence, where it's second nature, and you could see that she's in her own head. Trying to finish these opportunities that should be second nature to her. So I think in this game, especially from this tournament, she's had opportunities where she hasn't been able to finish. And then you also have the legend, Alex Morgan, who's now back in camp, full confidence, in good form. She's putting her chances away. It can weigh on you a lot. Not that she's comparing herself to Alex Morgan, but I think just the fact that, okay, someone else is in better form. How can I adjust? How can I be effective when your confidence is low is really difficult to come out of that and get back into the zone and your flow where you're not overthinking your actions. And I can't even imagine on the world stage, missing your penalty in a World Cup at how young she is so difficult to overcome. But I do think, you know what, you look at these other legends, Alex Morgan's missed plenty of penalties.
Yeah.
Pino's missed a ton of penalties. It happens. It's how you overcome that. How do you move on? How do you maintain your confidence? And I think that this finally gave her that next step in her international career where she's able to overcome moments like that, because it's the game. Those mistakes are going to happen. It's how you react. And I think this finally gave her that next step to her game. And it's good to see that she's feeling confident and that she got that, I don't know, validation in herself that she can do it again.
I mean, you could see it in her tears and her emotion, how much that meant to her. But it really, it was a group effort from the United States. Alyssa Nair in goal had a tremendous tournament, specifically their last two games, specifically the penalty kick shootout, three saves, and she converts a penalty kick of her own. She also spoke with Jenny Chu postgame. Take a listen to Alyssa Nair.
Alyssa, I don't even know where to begin. Obviously, this was an incredible game into extra time. The penalty kick, and then penalties, the actual penalty kicks beyond the penalty kick. You save two, and then you step up to take your own. Take me through that mental headspace right there.
This is what we prepare for. You know, we put time into situations like this. We put time into every situation we can possibly face, and that's a credit to the staff and the players for, really honing in and focusing on that to make sure we're prepared for anything that comes our way. And you know, it's always tough. You play 120 minutes of a good game and competitive game, and to give up a goal right at the end like that, so to be able to, as a group, come together, regroup emotionally and mentally, and dial back in to convert the PKs and all that, just says a lot about the players that we have on this team.
You're talking about these players, but looking forward, you guys are up against Brazil, but you did play 120 minutes into penalty kicks in difficult weather conditions. What is your guys' headspace after that?
Yeah, rest and recover. We'll get ready to go again, and we've got, great staff. We've got, we've done this a couple times, and this is what we prepare for, to figure out how to, and turn it around quickly, and we'll be ready for Brazil on Sunday.
Well, you're a legend for that, by the way. Saving two and taking one. Congratulations, Alyssa.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Goalkeepers are a different beast in and of themselves. They just are. I'm married to one, and they just are. Sandra, you've had the pleasure of watching Alyssa Nair and covering her up close with Chicago and, of course, with this national team. She's built differently, right?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, build a statue, do something. The legend and legacy of Alyssa Nair just continues to grow, and I think we were talking about this after the quarterfinal, and here we are talking about her again after this semifinal. And I mean, we've also been chatting on this recap a lot about the game plans and the concept of those and how they get their own out of a window in conditions like this. But if nothing else, penalties are always planned. They're always practiced. They're always part of, the knockout round scenario that a team absolutely has a game plan for, especially from when you have your starting lineups and to potentially who are your subs to take those types of moments. So it doesn't matter. Alyssa Nair shows us that it doesn't matter what the conditions are. If it's a gross, terrible, soggy mess, if it's a very difficult, historic, poor club season with the Chicago Red Stars, if it's a very good, successful club season where they go to a playoff year after year after year, if you're coming off of a very tough World Cup, that this is a goalkeeper, that this is a player, that this is a leader who has found themselves in these moments time and time again, and more often than not provides that level of calmness and maybe even serenity for her teammates to kind of have that confidence. When you see the teammates flood her after this moment, I mean, for someone who doesn't like getting hugged, gets swamped all the time. There's so many highlights at this point for Alyssa Nair getting swamped by teammates. It's incredible to witness in real time, and all of us by extension, just throughout the varying tournaments she's been in. And this is just another game, another moment where, again, that legacy of hers continues to grow.
She is definitely a legend. And there is something to be said about facing a penalty in the waning minutes of extra time to potentially end the game or go to pens, and Adriana Leone scores against Alyssa Nair. Then it's turned right back around and they're into penalty kicks, and Alyssa Nair is back up against Adriana Leone, but this time, Darian, she saves it. It has to be a mental game at that point.
Yeah. Ooh, I just got goosebumps. I think she's has such a strong mental fortitude, and even her celebration after, I would have pulled a Brandi Chastain and ripped my jersey off and like Superman slid all across the field, but she's so just calm and relaxed and solid. And I think she's one of the best goalkeepers the U.S. has ever had, obviously. But it genuinely, she doesn't get the credit that she deserves, I think, because she is quiet. She kind of stays away from the media a little bit. But all the credit to her, because it is not easy to make three saves and score. But, you know, I have a, you're right, goalkeepers are a different breed. A lot of my closest friends are goalkeepers. I don't know what that says about me, but they always say we're the best at taking penalties because it's what we do all day. We know exactly what to read. We know how to place it. We know where the advantage is of who we're going against. We know how to analyze it. And she has proven it over and over again. I have to say, though, why were the Canadian players all kicking it in the same place? Mm-hmm. Mid-height to the right of Alyssa Nair. It wasn't working. Quinn had a great pen. They put it up into the top corner. But other than that, I was a little perplexed at why. Maybe the logic was to not keep it low in fear of the water on the pitch, try to lift it a little bit. But it credit to Alyssa Nair, because three saves is wild. She's incredible. But all in the same spot.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, on the other side of that, they weren't the best taking penalties. Yeah. But also them as well. Yeah. For sure.
They weren't the best taking penalties. But another player for the United States to convert one. She also, I think, technically had like part of the assist in my mind to the opening goal for Jaden Shaw, because Lindsey Horan, she plays the long ball in that causes some chaos and the bad back pass from Vanessa Gilles that Jaden Shaw can jump on. And Horan finishes the final penalty for the United States. She also spoke to Jenny Chu postgame.
All right, Lindsay, let's start chronologically here. The weather conditions. We could see that you were a little upset and you were having conversations with the ref about it potentially being unplayable. Why don't you tell me what those conversations were like?
Yeah, a little bit of frustration, I guess, for me. I mean, it's not a day that you can play football, and it's really unfortunate. But at the end of the day, I think me and Jesse were just like, okay, well, we gotta move forward and we got to play. So it is what it is, and we played on.
Well, now you're on to the final. After going up twice, coming back, going into penalty kicks, what did you see from your team today? I mean, incredible grit.
I mean, that's back to that U.S. mentality that we've been talking about, that we've needed, and it's in us. And I think that's what you guys saw today. It's just, again, it's not a game that you're going to play football. I don't think there's more than a few completed passes on the ground. But, the grit, you know, getting a goal, the tie, getting another goal, and then the PKs and Alyssa coming up massive. And I have to shout out Soph Smith, too, because she needed that goal. And to get that first PK, I was so, so proud of her.
Well, going from one interview to the next, you guys just gave each other a hug. And you said, Alyssa, physical touch. She must be incredibly excited after two saves and stepping up and scoring her own. How happy are you for her?
Oh, I'm so happy. I mean, at the end of the day, she'll just be like, this is my job. And that's what I needed to do for the team. And she's going to hate herself for, like, not saving one of them. I don't know. But she always comes up big for us. That's Alyssa Nair for you. So proud of her. But nothing new.
Nothing new. Congratulations. You're on to the final. Brazil next.
Thank you so much. We can't wait.
That's Alyssa Nair. Couldn't have said it any better. And if you're watching this on YouTube, Lindsey Horan and Jessie Fleming had already done the jersey swap. So that's why Lindsey Horan looks like she plays for the Canadian national team in that interview. Pretty funny. But United States, they are advancing. They will play Brazil in the final. We're going to talk about that right after this quick break.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Hey,
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup semifinals. It was Mexico taking on Brazil in Snapdragon Stadium earlier ahead of the United States game. In this game for Mexico and Brazil, things got off to a bit of a tough start to get going for Mexico as this game began underway, both of these sides hoping to advance to the championship. And it was in the 21st minute, Brazil gets an opportunity, ball into the box, and it's just bounced around. Ultimately, Adriana Leon finds the back of the net. In the 32nd minute, at this point, Mexico had received a red card. In the 25th minute, Nicolette Hernandez had been sent off for Mexico. So now Brazil playing 11 against 10, and Antonia, the right back for Brazil in their three back, finds the back of the net, a left-footed shot that just bends so, so beautifully. Right at the start of the second half, Brazil said, hey, we're not done yet. Yasmin, she is inside the box. The cross comes in, and it's a little backheel to find the back of the net. And Brazil made it look pretty easy on the day. It was unfortunate for Mexico to go down in the 25th minute to just 10 players on a bad foul outside the box. And it went to VAR check. It was very, very much delayed. But honestly, a heartbreaker for Mexico at this point, considering how far they came in the tournament, Sandra.
Yeah, it was a bad day to maybe have your poorest 20 minutes of the tournament. It was tough to watch. I was tweeting through it a while ago, just because having followed this team and covered them for such a long time, it was really such a wonderful moment this Gold Cup to sort of see this team kind of really reintroduce themselves to some casual fans and eyeballs. But you know, this was another big test for them. You know, they had already achieved such history and getting that win against the United States that maybe you do wonder if asking this team to slay not one but two dragons may have been too much. This is another team in which they had to struggle against before in previous eras, not getting wins against them, having the poor of the record, and kind of maybe getting a little bit of a taste of what they presented with the United States. They were having to deal a lot with a constant press from Brazil, quick touches. They were unable to connect, passes. I don't think they had a successful passing sequence at all during that opening 20 minutes. And then when you get this goal in the 21st minute, and it just kind of continued to see the wheels fall off a little bit for this team. And again, it's just a disappointing mm-hmm. day to have that type of performance after having such strong ones throughout this tournament. I will say, though, having just seen them in this Gold Cup, it's been such a joy to watch them. They ultimately don't walk away with the glory, but there has been such deep gratification, I think, that they can walk away with out of this tournament. I know for myself personally, I'm already had a lot of pride in this team and rooting for them, and having grown up Mexican-American and coming up with Mexican football, to see this team get the attention that it's gotten during this Gold Cup has been incredible to witness in real time. I can't express enough what it has felt like to see other people fall in love with this team mm-hmm. and get a lot of joy out of watching them as well. And to know that this team has ultimately been undefeated through 2023, even going back into 2022 a little bit, coming out of that failure to qualify, and watching them take these steps to get better. They're calling them these pases de oro, these steps to the gold, and walking away with some gold medals already in 2023. Again, it's been incredible, and I love that folks are walking away from this tournament having a favorite Mexican player, or one or two or three.
Yeah.
Of them, so it's a tough way to go out. Alexia Delgado was kind enough to share some words with me in the mix zone. It absolutely is not the way they want it to go out. But it's hard to not recognize so much of what was gained for this team during the tournament, both on and off of the pitch. Pedro Lopez exiting his post-game interview, was so great to be able to witness two little girls run up to him and stop him and ask for a photo. And this gentleman, having done one of the toughest press conferences of his life, immediately light up and beam alongside these girls and pose for this photo. And you can't help but walk away and think about those victories that Mexico is walking away with out of this tournament.
That's such great perspective, Sandra. A lot of people fell in love with Mexico during this tournament. You're exactly right. And it is a new era under Pedro Lopez and what this team is capable of. And it's not just that they believe it themselves, but I think the rest of the world knows, hey, this Mexican side is not to be messed with. They're good. You better bring your best when you play them. Unfortunately for Mexico, they couldn't convert. Just a, kind of a series of unfortunate events for them against Brazil, and they end up falling. They get knocked out of the semifinals after making it out of a really tough group, topping the group, beating the United States. It was a really good run for Mexico. Meanwhile, on the other side, Darien, Brazil, they started this game with three in the back. No JC on the field, no Gabi Nunez on the field. A bit of a different look for this Brazilian side. They were off to a hot start, and they just kept their foot on the gas pedal. 15 goals and zero conceded throughout this CONCACAF W Gold Cup, and over 11 different goal scorers for Brazil. How dangerous is this Brazilian side right now heading into the final?
They're incredibly dangerous, and I think they've found a variety of ways to score. Which is going to be the best test for the United States. I cannot wait. But this team, I thought, had such a good game plan coming out against watching. Well, when you watch Mexico play and their high press, how threatening they can be from distance, their combination play to get in the box, their individual brilliance. It's not easy to go against, but they stuck with their game plan. I will say, I don't know if Mexico's press, the angles that they were approaching suited how they were playing Brazil, because Brazil's, they're comfortable playing in tight spaces. They don't mind. They can move the ball quick with efficiency. But they have top tier technical players. And I think they just broke Mexico's press too easily with one pass. And a lot of that came from goal kicks. Mm-hmm. I think that wiped Mexico out. And I don't know if they knew how to recover from that, what to adjust in the game, because Brazil just kept moving them how they wanted to. So yeah. I'm bummed for Mexico, but it was a really good showing for Brazil. And I think that they earned it. Their attack is so good. I wish we would have seen Mexico test their back line more. I still don't think Luciana has had to do much, and I have a lot of question marks around her. But I do think, you know what, in the next game, we're going to see it, because we know how the U.S. scouts and does film and watches teams and tries to break them down. And as we've seen them grow through this tournament, I think we're going to see Luciana and this backline for Brazil get tested. I hope that Brazil mm-hmm. sticks with their game plan and stays in the three back and looks to attack and just maintain possession. But it's going to be a good game.
It for sure will. If Brazil stays in that three back with so many players higher up the field, that's when they've converted more goals in this mm-hmm. tournament. They had a four back the first two matches and only won those games 1-0. Then they switch to a three back, have numbers higher up the field, and they score back-to-back goal games with five goals and then three against Mexico. But they are at times exposed, Brazil, when they play in that three back, because they send so many numbers forward, and their opposition really hasn't also done the same to them. Throw a lot of numbers forward, and Brazil really did start to dominate the match when they were preying on Mexico's disjointedness, frankly. That's when things really started to unfold.
Yeah, and I also don't know, maybe you guys will disagree, but I don't know if Mexico's subs were correct after Hernandez got the red. I understand going a little bit more defensive, but it was early in the game. You still needed to score. Yeah. You needed to not play to keep it at 1-0.
Mm-hmm. It was Maria Sanchez and Diana Ordóñez came out at that point.
Yeah, for Reyes and Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Where's Pelayo? Somebody find Pelayo. Because I thought she would have been so effective. I don't know if it was managing minutes or what coming into this game, but I was a little bummed to see those subs, because I think it just fed into this, oh, we're overwhelmed, we're going to sit back, we'll try to pick our time to go. Well, that's not working. They're breaking four of our players with one pass, and we're down a player. I think tactically it didn't suit what the game was asking for Mexico at that moment in time, so early in the match. But yeah, it was tough because I think it just fed into Brazil's momentum for the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, we get to see Brazil one more time and see what happens with them because they are advancing to the CONCACAF W Gold Cup Championship and the final against the United States. That match happening on Sunday at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock Eastern on the Glauzo Network, and you can watch the game on Paramount Plus. We'll all be there. Sandra, we're joining you out in San Diego for big-time coverage against the United States and Brazil. Brazil advancing with a 3-0 win over Mexico, and the United States getting a 3-1 win on penalties over Canada to advance to this CONCACAF W Gold Cup final. Thanks, everyone, so much for joining us and watching us. We'll see you soon.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.